HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Hello there and welcome to the HR HQ podcast. Today I'm joined by Emma Walker from the Miscarriage Association of Ireland. Emma, thanks so much for chatting with us today. And firstly, can you tell us a little bit about the charity itself, maybe the aims of the charity and a little bit about how you got involved?
So I suppose the aims really of the Miscarriage Association of Ireland, they haven't changed since we started in 1988, really. They've developed, or how we kind of meet our aims have developed, but it's very much around help and supporting people that are directly affected by pregnancy loss, you know. So that's, you know, women, partners, extended family, because they're usually the life support for maybe a couple or a woman that's impacted directly. And friends as well, you know, we'd get friends or whatever on the helpline. So, and I suppose the way we deliver that and meet our aims, it's largely around, we have support groups around the country. So they're in Dublin and Cork, Clare/Limerick, because they alternate. And we have very new ones up here in Louth. And then we have our Zoom meetings, which really gives us that national reach and was so invaluable after COVID as well. We're keeping that on just to allow that reach, really. And as we kind of develop in other counties. And then we have our email support and our very valuable helpline. So we are all people, I suppose, with lived experience of pregnancy loss. And I think that really, really does help. Although everybody's journey is so different and grief journeys are so different. But we do have that in common, I suppose, when we're holding people, you know, in meetings. We have our fantastic, lovely hardbound remembrance book. And it's because in absence, I suppose, of a miscarriage register in Ireland, which we don't have, it's a place that people can record their losses, a tangible place. And we had our service, our annual service on Sunday, and people came with their little remembrance certs and said, can I please see my entry? And it's really, really powerful. Some of those, you know, they would have multiple losses or one loss. It doesn't matter how many losses, the depth of the grief doesn't equal the amount of losses or how pregnant you are. So that's them. We have email support as well. And I suppose we would advocate a lot as well as an association. And Labour have their reproductive health bill, which would give us legislation up to 20 days miscarriage leave. So yes, we would always push stuff like that. To have a national miscarriage register as well would be fantastic. We have a little shop as well where we sell teddies, pins, because mementos are so important with the type of loss that we have. To have something tangible is so important. So the shop can be quite busy, and we have memorial stones. I think we have about 16 of them all around the country, and it means that you can go and sit maybe in a place and just maybe kind of just have a little moment to yourself. And they are specifically for pregnancy loss.
You mentioned, Emma, there that the charity is run by women and men who have personally had a lived experience of loss. And it's quite a frightening experience. And not a lot of people know what to say to people when they have had a pregnancy loss. But you've done a lot of work around writing sort of advice, piece of advice for people. And you might share that with us, because it was a document that you wrote that really kind of supports the person both coming back into the workplace. And also if it's a partner of somebody, perhaps, and they're aware of a loss in a family. So you might talk us through some pieces of advice you have.
Yeah. So I suppose supporting people directly affected, what I'd say is listen, even just listen to what the person is saying. Every loss is very different. Grief is not linear. So it's not as if, you know, we go through this stage and then the next. So I suppose to be open to being a supporter around somebody that's going to have these waves during their grief journey, and maybe be triggered by a sound or a smell, be triggered by a loss date, be triggered by Mother's Day or Father's Day, a song, all of those. So that's really remaining, I suppose, not hypervigilant, but certainly just open and cognizant maybe of that. And I think as well as that, I'm just thinking of employers, but you're asking around family, are you?
Well, no, just if you are an employer and perhaps it's somebody in their family. So, you know, it can affect the person who's lost the baby, maybe the husband or the wife, but it also can affect if your daughter maybe has had a miscarriage. I mean, it really is, it's a complicated grief that it can affect many people in the family, and be sensitive to that, I suppose, as an employer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And I think you'll take the lead from when somebody does experience a miscarriage from the get-go. If you are open and transparent, if you take a lead from somebody about what their wishes are, ask, you know, how do you want this to be communicated? If you wanted it to be communicated, here's a contact person for you. If there's work to be done that might be in your mind, can that be, tell them that that's going to be taken care of, so it's not an extra weight. Also, method of communication is a lovely thing that a good line manager can say, look, will we communicate by email maybe? So you're not kind of living with, are they going to ring me today? Might I get a text from work? So email, I suppose, you know, is a safe way. And maybe even a supporter of yours can even maybe check your email and say, hey, work of email. So it's a bit of a buffer. And a contact person, one contact person, and also what supports are there as well is really important, because sometimes you might be able to access maybe counselling or an EAP program through work, and give clarity about leave, because there is no miscarriage leave in Ireland. HR, or if not HR, to be up on, are we going to go with compassionate leave? Are we going to go with sick leave? I suppose a person doesn't have to have miscarriage written down. You know, they can have medical illness. They don't have to disclose that with their GP. So all of that will bring kind of surety and clarity for somebody while they're off. And bear in mind, if somebody does come back quite quickly to a workplace, and some people, that works for some people, the doing, getting into a routine. Some, and for others, no, it doesn't. I've been varied with my own losses around return to work. But just as I said, because grief is not linear, be mindful that somebody might come back to work, but then maybe 4 or 6 weeks later, or even months later, they actually may need to kind of step back from the workplace again. We hear a lot of that in our support meetings. I feel so guilty. I'm after saying I'll go back. I went back in for 2 days, 2 months sometimes, and it just hits them. So it's so different for everybody. Yeah, so I think they're some of the main things that you can do. Be educated as well. Talk to us. Use websites. Bring us in for a chat with your staff.
Emma, would your team be able to do maybe Zoom support or chat to the staff if there was somebody in the team that had maybe multiple miscarriages, or, you know, just a miscarriage and a company didn't feel they were handling it very well?
Well, what we'd say in that, because we would say, get the person, we work through, you know, a person needs to have that comfort themselves, and also the motivation to pick up a phone themselves. Yeah. So we'd be saying, we'd do a redirection and say, look, give them our website. You can tell them our helpline, talk about the support meetings, arm them with that information to empower them. But then I suppose they, in their readiness, only they can decide that, and then that they can pick that up. We do go into workplaces, though. I know we've been in, we've been in a few kind of workplaces where we literally kind of talk through some of what we've been talking about now, about how to support people. But we also do discuss, what does miscarriage look like? What types of miscarriages? Because sometimes, and we tend to bust some myths there. Sometimes people might think, oh, a miscarriage maybe happens over a few days. Sometimes it can, but it can be weeks and weeks, you know, and the interventions are really varied as well, that you may need, medication. You may need a medical intervention like surgery. So all of that, you know, you can see people really nodding when they hear, wow, they maybe didn't. And like, and that's fair enough, because if they don't have that lived experience as a line manager or a supervisor, they can absolutely arm themselves with that information. And we have all of that on our miscarriage website, you know, so that's just miscarriage.ie. So there's actually even a lot on there. If there was a person in work that had an interest, that would be great, and get that, but certainly can reach out to us maybe just to add to that or whatever as well.
It's so prevalent. I mean, I think it's almost 14,000 people or more every year women experience miscarriage. So that's, you know, between, I think it's 20 or 25% of all pregnancies perhaps are a lost pregnancy. And it affects the man just as much as it affects the female. So be sensitive to men in your office that are experiencing miscarriage in their family.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and we see it at our support meetings that, I mean, look, we all grieve very differently. But I know, even say my own experience, myself and my husband grieve very differently, and points he wasn't grieving the way I wanted him to. And you come and you don't mean to have this expectation, but you want to be together on this journey. But you're experiencing that uniquely yourself. So it really does impact on relationships. And also, because maybe you are still in that baby making effort, you need you need this closeness. So you're grieving together, but essentially you're having your own path. So generally what we would say and what we find help, if you can't maybe get what you want from a person, like an intimate partner, do you know, in talking to them, knock on someone else's door, because maybe they're having their own journey and maybe they just can't give you what you want in that, by way of maybe understanding or whatever it might be. So that may be a friend, maybe a sister, maybe a friendly colleague that has said, look, I've been there. You find people would say that, and it's done very quietly, but often they're the real source of, actually, no, I didn't end up talking to my friends. I talked to this girl in work that I didn't really know before. Or we'd, you know, have men saying that, oh, well, I actually couldn't believe it. So-and-so told me and confided that he had. So there's all this, you know, lovely support happening. But and it's not easy, but to say something like, I'm so sorry for your loss, I'm here. You don't have to say a whole lot. People can be really scared. They can feel very isolated in a workplace because people don't know what to say. So we do have the paper that you mentioned that I drew up. So if you email just info@miscarriage.ie, we would send that out to any workplace. It's simply called Supporting Employees After a Pregnancy Loss. And we have a whole list of helpful things to say, unhelpful things to say. And it's very small, but it's meaningful, I suppose, just if you're not a fae and you haven't kind of been near miscarriage in your life. And that's going to be the way for, you know, for a good few people in a workplace. Yeah.
And I think as you have that lived experience, and because you're coming from a place of your own experience, that those, I felt when I read the document, it was really helpful, because you could feel the compassion and the empathy, and you really, you understood the journey. And I think that's what's so important, that somebody is understanding and empathetic to what's going on. The other thing that you mentioned briefly, and we might go back to it, is hidden loss, keeping it private. It is the woman's decision. You know, they don't have to tell the employer. They have the right to keep their miscarriage private as they choose. And they can do that with the help of their doctor, you know, ask for a cert that just has something else. Do you know the language around it? I think they just say that they're unwell, or is there a particular language around it?
Yeah, well, like anything, I suppose, when we go to a doctor now, be it miscarriage or something else, it can just be simply put as, you know, medical illness or medical complaint. So that's going to vary from person to person. And we've seen it there in our support meetings, like the reasons maybe why people don't want to disclose. It might be they're not sure of how it's going to be anticipated in the workplace. Are they not in work long, and they feel as if, am I going to lose my standing here? You know, and you would hope absolutely not. But I think we have a lot more, we need to know a lot more in workplaces. And when we understand, we can offer that empathy more, can't we? Because when we can make sense of something, we can go, I'm okay with this, you know, and we can help a little bit more because we understand. And you're dead right. Like they say, like they call it disenfranchised grief or hidden grief, as you said. And I mean, there's a lot of probably like many like reasons for that, even socially, I suppose. You know, we wouldn't have the societal norms that we would have, say, after a lived person has led a life. You don't go into Hallmark and get, I'm sorry for your miscarriage card. So those kind of things. And also in families, you would see as well this kind of transference of, well, my mom had, and it was quiet, so I don't want to upset her, maybe. I don't want to upset my aunties. It wasn't kind of spoken about. So will I break this cycle? Will I not? Am I upsetting the extended family? So it's amazing all the reasons. And also, it's not legislated for. And so in a way, really, from a governmental point of view, I think when we don't legislate for something like this, then we don't have the policies kind of cascading down. Like, we don't have miscarriage policies in workplaces. There's a great template that you can use to have a miscarriage policy. But I think when we do get that, if that Labour bill comes through, I think that will really, really help, because people are like, oh, OK, well, this is happening now nationally, and we're a bit knocked over the head. So we'll all kind of, you know, be more active. So I think until then, you actually have to advocate a lot for yourself when you're a person that has had a loss, you know, and you actually have quite a bit of minding to do. You're minding your partner a bit, like, you know, you're minding your family members. And even when you're talking to your friends, like, oh, I don't want to like upset them. So you have all this interplay happening, you know, and so it can be quite isolating. So we love when people actually maybe can, it might be easier to talk to us sometimes in the helpline. We stay on for a month at a time. So you can, you know, so you might decide, oh, I'll ring that person because I know they're on again. Or maybe I'll wait till they're finished so I can exactly repeat my whole story to another person. Because sharing helps.
It's just about that listening ear and creating that sacred space where they know they're going to be listened to. And you mentioned communication there. And I was wondering if somebody's listening in and perhaps they're not an employer, they're an employee, should they make the first contact? Or is it the employer that makes the first contact? You know, if that feels uncomfortable from both sides, from your wisdom and all of the advice that you have, how is that best dealt with at the beginning? You know, who should make the contact?
Yeah, well, I suppose when somebody doesn't turn into work, generally that will be the person that's not turning into work to say, hey, I'm not coming into work today, like they would for any reason. In our experience from, and I suppose I can talk personally and just what I've observed in support meetings over the years, is that often it might be a loved one, a partner that will ring a workplace. And they may disclose, hopefully they've talked to their person, if it's not yourself. I know I rang in myself, and get a person, you know, if you feel you have a contact person there, that ideally your line manager or supervisor, because you want clarity, yes. And you might, though, say, you might tell somebody informally, but it is helpful just to set the scene from the very beginning, whoever that contact person is, if you were unwell for another reason. And it might be an email. If you want that buffer, send an email, because you may not be in a place to talk. So we would generally find people will email work. They may send a text, depending on the method of communication that's in place. Or if there is, though, then a phone call or something to come, often, you know, a partner or a friend might kind of pick up the phone. But in relation to first contact, yeah, I suppose it is going to lie on your side. Otherwise, what's going to happen? You're going to get a call saying, hey, where are you? And that's more difficult, isn't it? So if you can, but as I say, you might be going through an acute miscarriage. You may be in hospital. You may be at home. You could be very symptomatic in your body at the time. So I think email is probably the safest bet, you know, and that's, you know, and if you can send an email, text, like, what workplace is not going to receive one of those methods of communication, I think.
And I think important for yourself and for the employer as well to understand sometimes people don't have a capacity to really deal with the day-to-day when they're experiencing complicated loss, because their body is healing but their mind, you know, is still trying to make sense of this loss that was totally unexpected. And as you said, there can be an associated things going on, so just have that kindness to yourself as well. As you said, you may return and then suddenly you're feeling overwhelmed, and that's what grief is. It comes, as you know, in waves, and it's not the same for everyone.
Absolutely, it is going to be different, and we see that people are surprised and really thinking, I was really doing fine, you know. And even after, sometimes we get quite a few people maybe with that have had two or three miscarriages, and they really think, but there's no, it's not as if there's a getting used to. And I think look, my daughter's anniversary is, her 10-year anniversary is in 4 weeks' time. And I suppose I would have I relate differently to my different losses. You know, they were dependent on where you were, how you were in your life, how you were emotionally connected with Baba while you were pregnant. You know, they're not easy. So been kindness, turning the kindness inward. And that's not always, we don't sometimes even don't recognize the need, because we tend to go into autopilot, and we might go, or we might kind of close up and actually not be active at all. And these are all the common symptoms of some common symptoms of grief. So the support, and they say, look, most people will get through a bereavement, including this type of loss, with support from family and friends. But then the next level up would be the likes of us, a helpline and support group. And then the next level then would be going to your GP and maybe actually getting some counselling, like TUSLA actually now fund bereavement counselling through community centres, family resource centres. There's in the Bethany groups through your local parish maybe as well. And then IACP.ie, Irish Association of Counsellors and Psychotherapists, they would do sliding scale, depending on what you can afford, to go for counselling. So there's lots of different options there, and Nurture Health as well, who do specific counselling around perinatal grief.
Some companies offer this sort of counselling, and you're maybe not aware of it, but it might be part of a company's policy. So I think it's important to talk to your manager, and if they have this support available, you know, to take that on board. And you may not need it for a long time, maybe a holding, a very short time, just to give you somebody to talk to.
Absolutely, because you know, you have that, I suppose they would call it kind of like the crisis, that sounds a little hard, but I suppose that kind of crisis counseling, where it's short term, it's one or two sessions, and as you say, it can hold you, Andrea, absolutely. And then you might not come to, say, bereavement counselling. If you do come to that, that could be like 6 months down the line, a year down the line, as you continue to adjust to your life after your loss. Yeah.
And there is life after loss, which we both know, because we've both been there at different times. The Miscarriage Association of Ireland is a charity, so you do rely on the kindness of people like yourself to give your time and expertise to it, to donate your time, but also to money as well. Tell us a little bit once more before we let you go about all of the various supports that you offer, because there's quite a few different ways that you support people.
Yeah, there is. And when you asked me the first question, what's our aim? Support. So I'll start with support groups. So our in-person support groups are held in, and we have miscarriage.ie, all the breakdown of the details are there, but they're in person in Dublin in Buswell's Hotel once a month. Then they alternate monthly between Clare and Limerick. And then we have them every 2 months in Cork. And we just started now up where I live in Louth, and we are due to have our third one next Thursday night, and that's monthly at the moment. We have our Zoom ones, and they are religiously every fourth Thursday of the month. So you can just go to info@miscarriage.ie and email us. It is nice to kind of register to say, look, hey, you're coming, because we talked to you a little bit before. And also you need the Zoom link. But in relation to the in-person, we do recommend, look, reach out to us and just say you want to come along. And it's only so we can greet you and say, hello, are you? We love our name tag, but it's just to have that little connection before. But saying that, we do welcome people that walk in. We would not turn them away. So some people, they might be like, will I go? Will I not go? Absolutely, come in the door. And then our helpline, as I said, that's Monday to Friday from 10 a.m. to 12, and then from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., just for people after work. And those numbers are on our website and on our social media, because they change every month because we're volunteers. So the number changes. And then we have email support for people that don't want to talk, and that can get really busy actually. So we have that as well. We have our remembrance book, and because I held the book for 3 years, and when I get that, I make the entry, I take a photo, I would send that to you. I'd send you your cert so you know exactly what volume. We're on volume 8 at the moment, big books, and you'll know where that is. And we'll send you bookmarks and a pin as well in that. And it's a lovely thing to be able to have. And then we have our memorial stones. If you want to kind of physically go somewhere, maybe on Mother's Day, maybe on an expected date when baby was due, a lost date, people have their places they want to go, but those memorial stones are there for that very reason. And all of that information is on our website, and our shop is on our website as well, and our I Donate for making donations is on our website as well. And we've had fantastic support. It's amazing. We've had soldiers kind of like running up and down and doing walks, you know, bake sales, runs, the whole lot. And like, we wouldn't be able to do what we do without it, paying for the memorial stones and our shop and all, you know, all of those things, because they don't come cheaply. So I think that's the core supports that are there.
And as you're talking, I'm thinking, you know, we need education, but we also need that important legislation. And if the legislation comes, which I hope it does, no doubt this conversation will continue. And I'd love to talk to you again. But if any company is listening out there and they want to support the amazing work that you do in the Miscarriage Association of Ireland, perhaps you've supported one of their team members. Christmas is coming up. If they want to maybe donate their Christmas card donation in your honour, I'm sure you'd welcome that, because I know a lot of companies are doing that now. No better charity than yourselves, the Miscarriage Association of Ireland. Emma Walker, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. And I doubt we'll continue this conversation in the coming months.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us, because it's really important. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.